Eternal King of Glory, the Lord of Lords. I thank you, I bless you for this morning. Thank you for what you are set to do in our life. You are calling us into a partnership relationship of trusting in you. Father, we pray that you will help us to trust you to the end in the name of Jesus. As I stand here, speak through me to your people in the name of Jesus. The same way you have spoken to men and you took away the anxieties, the worries, speak to your people and take away every anxiety in the name of Jesus. Let them trust you more and more. In Jesus' name we pray. Praise the Lord. Can I have the book of Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 to 6? It's a popular verse and I know some of us, we already know it. Proverbs chapter 3 from verse 5. It said, trust in the Lord with what? All your heart, and lean not on your what? Own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct your path. Praise the Lord. So there are three key words from that passage we read. Three key words. And he said what? The first key word there, he said, trust in who? The Lord. With who? With what? With all your heart. And the Bible says, make us to understand, when we talk about trust, trust is belief in the reliability of something, truth, ability, or strength of something. But when it comes to trust in the Lord, it's far above what? A mere trust. When we talk about trusting in the Lord, it's not a mere trust. Because when you trust on something, that thing can fail sometimes. And when it fails, you start to panic. Probably when I started this semester, I started in my own strength. And when I saw the amount of work, I started to panic. And I went back to do what? Trust in the Lord that can make things easy. So trust in the Lord is far above mere trust. David in Psalm 37, verse 3 to 5. Because of time, we might not read it, but you can write it down. If you have it on the slide too, that's good. 37, 3 to 5. He encourages us there to trust in the Lord. And to do what? Do good. And he says, so shalt thou dwell in the world, in the land. And verily, thou shalt be what? Fed. He said, delight thyself also in the Lord. And he shall give thee the desires of what? Of thine heart. And in the last verse of there, he said, commit what? Thy ways unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he will bring it to come to pass. So God is saying that we should trust in him at all costs, in everything. Because when you do, he will do what? He's the one that will bring those success. So for some people here this morning, it's your next level and a new beginning of trust in the Lord. That was my own next level. I asked, and I'm very sure now where I need to focus that, to trust God more. Not that I don't trust him, I do. But to trust him more when I face big challenges. Praise God. Amen. So when we talk about trusting in God, how do we trust in the Lord? From that scripture where we read, three key words, said, with what? All our hearts. Trusting God with all your heart. And when you trust God with all your heart, it what? It does attract blessing. Jeremiah 17, verse 7 to 8. The verse 7 of it says, blessed is who? The man who trusts in who? In the Lord. So when you trust in the Lord with all your heart, you are a blessed person. And he now said, whose confidence is in who? In him. He said, they will be like what? A tree planted where? By a water that send out not its, that what? Send its root by what? By the river, by the stream. And you will not be afraid when you trust in the Lord. Praise the Lord. He said, when you trust God with all your heart, you are already what? Blessed. Not that you will be blessed. He said, you are what? Blessed. So trusting God, it attracts blessing. And the second part in that passage where we read in Proverbs said, lean not on your own understanding. So when you trust in God, you can't do things. You can't trust your own understanding. Because the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 1:25, he said the foolishness of God is what? Wiser. 1 Corinthians 1, chapter 25. He said the foolishness of what? The foolishness of God is wiser than human wisdom, and the weakness of God stronger than what? human strength. God is saying, if you lean on me, even though when it doesn't make sense, when I'm telling you to do some things and it doesn't make sense, it is foolish. He said that foolishness is still wiser than human wisdom. And he said, even my own weakness is still what? Stronger than human strength. That is the power that comes from what? Leaning on what? On God. And not on our own strength. And the third part said, acknowledge him in what? All your ways. When you are acknowledging God in all your ways, you are letting go of other alternatives. And you are doing what? Zooming in and turning into God. There is a turning in and there is a turning away. To lean on your own strength is a turning away from God. But to lean on his strength and to acknowledge him is to give him the master key, because it doesn't belong to you, nor to me. You know, like sometimes we like to do things in our own way, in our own strength, and God will just be silent and let us struggle through it until we go back and say, God, I can't do it. I can't do it. I can't do it. When you're acknowledging God, the book of Isaiah, chapter 58, verse 11. Isaiah 58, verse 11. He said, the Lord will guide you when? Always. Isaiah 58, verse 11. The Lord will do what? Guide you. Once? Continually. Always. He will satisfy you in a sun-scorched land. And he will strengthen your frame. You will be like a well-watered garden, like a spring whose water never fails. That is what you get when you trust in God. God will guide your path always. The secret you need to know to overcome those challenges, God will put it right in your hand without you having to struggle for it. So God is telling you and me this morning to do what? Trust in him. Trust in the Lord. So what is your own definition of trust in the Lord? If you are still struggling to do things by yourself, how are you trusting in the Lord? Because we can't do two things. I know we like to multitask, but when it comes in trusting in the Lord, we can't multitask it. You can't trust in yourself or others and still trust God. That you have to be what? Focus. That's what we call what? Focus. When you are focusing, it's on one thing. Praise God. So I will just share briefly, hopefully time will permit me. I might not go to some of the scriptures because of our time, but just write them down. Five ingredients to trusting in the Lord. What do I say? Five ingredients. I know we like to cook, women who cook. You know, some people, they can't cook a particular soup unless they have all the ingredients. So there are ingredients that we need in order to be able to do what? Trust in the Lord. And the biblical example that we'll be using this morning is no other person than David. And that will be found in 1 Samuel chapter 17. The whole of the chapter, but there's no time. So I'm begging you, you go back home and read the story. I will just paraphrase some things for you, but just bring out the key words, the key ingredients that we need to learn, that we need so that we can develop what? A relationship of trust in the Lord. And the first one is what? Faith. And the scripture established, what is faith? In Hebrew 1, in Hebrew 11, 1. Now, faith is what? The substance of things hoped for. The evidence of things not seen. You know what you hoped for and what you have not seen? It requires what? You know, faith and trust. Because you have to keep trusting. And you need your faith to be able to trust. Because faith is what, when you have faith, what you don't have faith in, you can't trust in that thing. It's just like you have a chair in your house. If you don't have faith that chair is able to sustain your weight, you are not going to trust that chair enough to put all your life on it. Am I correct? So faith is necessary. Faith, you know, relationship with God. How do we get faith? It's by relationship with God. And Pastor said it last week. Having a relationship with God. And that relationship with God will produce our what? Identity. And when you have identity in the Lord to know who you are, that identity now produces what? Faith. So when your identity is in the Lord, then you have faith in the Lord. And with this faith, you can be able to trust in the Lord that you believe in. In the book of John, chapter 1, verse 11 to 12, John gave the account. He said, God, he came to his what? His own. But his own did not what? Receive him. But as many as received him, what did he do? He gave them power to become the sons of God. Sonship comes from believing, faith. And you need it to thrive, to trust God. Faith involves hearing and responding to the voice of the shepherd. He said, as many as receive him, you hear the word and you receive, then you get your faith. Hearing the voice of the shepherd and what? Responding to it. So the man David that we talk about, he's a man who hears from God too. In the book of John 8:28, Jesus says something. I do nothing, John 8:28. I do nothing on my own initiative, but I speak things as the Father taught me. So not our own, is faith in God. Initiative, get what you get from God. What do you get from believing in God? And when you have all this, that's where you can be able to do what? Trust in God. So I say number one is what? The number one ingredient to trust in God is faith. And the second one is accept responsibility, even though it's challenging. And now this is when we will dig into the life of David. If you read the account of David in that book of 1 Samuel, chapter 17, from 12 all the way, from beginning you can see how the journey began about the Philistine that was defiling the armies of the Lord. And David happens to be a shepherd boy that time. And his three brothers, the eldest one, they went to the battle against the Philistine. They went into battle with Saul, King Saul. But David was shot through in between. And it got to a time, his father said, take food, take things, go and check on your what? Siblings' welfare. He accepted the responsibility. He didn't have to. When you want to trust God, trusting God comes with a responsibility. If you don't have something that you are chasing after, then how do you learn to trust God? And that thing that you are chasing after can come with challenges. And when those challenges are the one that lead you to what? Trusting God. Believe me, when things are going on in our life, going on well, we don't remember to trust God. Hey, yes, I'm making it. I'm getting success. But when challenges come, that is when we know to put the cap of what? Trusting God. David responded to his father, and he went out to go and check. And as he approached there, he got there, and he saw the Philistine. How he heard about how people were what? They were fearful. They were fearful because of one person, the giant, Goliath. But David, because he went to check, he now overheard them, what they were talking about. And he took up what? He overheard them. That challenge, because he had set responsibility from his father to go check on his sibling, brought another opportunity for him. In accepting responsibility, you need to learn how to obey. You cannot accept responsibility unless you know how to do what? Obey. David obeyed to go check on his siblings. But when he got there, he picked up another assignment. So trusting God is beyond what? It's beyond natural thought. We remember King Jehoshaphat, when he was going to battle also, God gave him instruction. Just appoint people. Do what? Sing. And instruction, a word was given to him in 2 Chronicles 20:17. He said, you will not have to fight this battle. So if you accept responsibility, if God is leading you to do something, just know that he will take you through when challenges come. But you have to do what? Trust in him. I said you have to do what? Have faith. Have faith first. And then you now accept responsibility. As you are doing all these things, to still do what? Hold on to what? Trusting in him. And Jehoshaphat did not have to fight in the battle. All they have to do was what? To sing. And the victory was won. As you learn to trust in the Lord, by what? Through your faith. and accepting responsibility wherever God is leading you, and you continue to trust, you will not have to fight in the battle in the name of Jesus. And victory will be yours in the name of Jesus. The third point is feed your faith by recognizing the unfailing power of God. I told you, go read the book of 1 Samuel chapter 17. If I have to read it, we won't leave here. Praise God. So the third point is feed your faith by recognizing the unfailing power of God. If you read the account of David in that 1 Samuel chapter 17 from verse 34 to about 37 or 38, David recognized, even when he, when he was going to check on his brothers and he heard what they were discussing, and he wanted to step in to go and fight with Goliath. He didn't just go. He fed his faith. He recognized that the Lord who was with him when he was a shepherd boy, keeping his father's sheep, he said how God helped him to kill what? A lion and a bear. So when you are what? Going on the journey and it becomes tough, you have to activate trust in the Lord by recognizing what? Feed your faith through the unfailing power of God, that God who has done it in the past, he's still the same God and he can do it. So what are you currently going through? What is poking finger at your face at the moment? What challenges, what difficulties are you going through now? All you need to do is to what? Feed your faith. And how do you feed your faith? Recognize how God has stepped in before. Praise God. Feed your faith. That's how you can do what? Feed your faith in the unfailing power of God. David said, remember his marvelous works which he had done. That is in the book of 1 Chronicles, chapter 16, verse 12. He's remembering, recognizing the unfailing power of the Lord. Not just here. Even he remembered how God helped him to kill a lion and a bear. And when David, he said something, he entrusted his life in God's hand to go and face Goliath. He overheard them. They've been discussing, and that Philistine will come and threaten the people. And they were all panicking, discussing. Nobody wants to volunteer to go face him. And David, who was asked to go check on his sibling, heard, oh, who is that person? And he inquired. He made inquiry, if you read the whole chapter, what will be done to the man that will go and confront this man? He started bringing, courage, confidence, and all those things. Even his brothers, they tried to tell him, who are you? What are you even doing here? Are you not supposed to be with the sheep? What are you doing here? Even Saul himself didn't have confidence in who? In David, that David can go and confront the Philistine, who was defiling the armies of the Lord. I pray that every Philistine that is defiling the name of the Lord in your life, the Lord will deliver them into your hand in the name of Jesus. Yeah. I said the Lord will deliver them into your hand in the name of Jesus. Yeah. If you look at that book of 1 Samuel, chapter 17, verse 40, I will read 45 and 46 this time around. David says something there, encouraging. Verse 45. David said to the Philistine, you came against me with a sword and spear and javelin, but I come against you in the name of who? Of the Lord Almighty, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you do what? Whom you divide. If you go to 46, and he now declare his victory there, he said, this was day. So when is the Lord going to give you the head of your enemies? He said, this day the Lord will deliver you into my hand, and I will strike you down and cut off your head. The very day I will give the carcass of the Philistines' army to the birds and to the wild animals, and to the whole, and the whole world will know that there is a God in Israel. So whatever is challenging you, tell that thing and say there is a God in Israel. And say to that thing, today, this day, the Lord deliver you into my hand. So David, he didn't just go, because he's trusting the Lord. For him to have gotten into this point, you see how the king didn't believe in him. Even the king Saul himself prepared David with gadgets. and he took it on. But later he said, no, I cannot go in this gadget. I have not tried it before. In the journey of your next level, don't go in a garment that you have not trusted. Don't use anything, any tool that you have not trusted that it will work. Don't use it. Because if you use it, you will be disappointed. David, if he had gone to confront Goliath with the gadget of Saul, he could have been what? Messed up. The opposite could have happened. And so when we talk about trusting in the Lord, it goes, you have your faith, you accept responsibility, and you are able to feed your faith by recognizing the unfailing power of God. All these things will do what? Help you to trust when you remember what he has done. And David was able to declare. He said, today, not tomorrow. So when do you want God to deal with your enemies? The enemies of your next level. When do you want God to deal with them? God will not come down and deal with them for you. But you won't need to fight. But he will give you what you need to get your victory, which is what? Trust in the Lord with all your heart. And acknowledge him always in every situation. And that will lead us to the fourth point. You need courage and confidence to trust in God. Trust in God is easier said than done. If you have not had some challenges, you won't understand what we are saying here. It's easy to say trust God. Situations happen to people that we almost want to take away their word, confidence in the Lord. That we almost want to make them to what? To think, is God even still here with me? Courage and confidence to trust in the Lord. Because without you being courageous, your confidence will not be what? Activated. The whole Israelite, they were afraid, so afraid of the what? The Philistine threatening. He will come out like a giant, you know, making a boast, defiling the armies of the Lord. But when David, he used what? Courage, confidence, and trust in the Lord to overcome him. And he says something in verse 32 of that 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 32. He said to the people, even when they don't even trust in him, his brothers don't believe. People don't need to believe in you for you to be victorious. You just have to trust in the Lord. When you trust in the Lord, you don't need affirmation from nobody. So if you are still looking for affirmation from people before you know your worth, you are not yet living. So David says something. He said, let no one do what? Lose heart on the account of who? The Philistine. Your servant will go and fight him. He can't just go without what? Courage and confidence to trust in the Lord. Because like, you know, if you look at the word courage and confidence, there are two different things. There are two. Courage is what gets you going when the battle gets tough. And that was what got David going. When the giant will come and you see him, very tall, very giant, some of us will run away. But he didn't run away. If you read the account, what did he use to have victory over him? Just 5 words. Small stone. You imagine, he's just going to just mess up his life. Probably his siblings and others were thinking that way. But he said, let no one do what? Lose heart. Because of what? Courage and confidence. And I said, courage is what helps you to do things fearfully. Sometimes you will do things fearfully. It's good. Sometimes fear is good. Some people think it's not good. Fear gets you into action. If you're afraid, if I don't study, I might fail this course. That's fear already. But when you get into study and you study, what will happen? You will pass. So fear sometimes is good in the body, in the positive way. You use it in the positive way, the Bible says fear has what? Torment. Any fear that causes you not to take action is a negative way of using fear. Fear can be used in a word, negative way. That fear, that anxiety got me into strategizing on doing my papers. And that anxiety did what? Lowered. Praise God. So you need it. But when you talk about confidence, it has more to do about you, your perception of yourself. How do you see yourself? In line with the word of the Lord, or in what people see you to be? You remember the spies that were sent to go do what? View the land where God has given to them. What did they say? They saw what? Giant. And they said they were like what? They made themselves like grasshoppers. And what happened to them? They became grasshoppers. Now they were, the fear. And what happened? They didn't even make it to the promised land. Only those who believed, Joshua and Caleb. You got to believe and you got to trust in the Lord that no matter what you are facing, God is what? Able to see you through. So while I say courage, courage and confidence are two different things. Your courage will help boost your confidence. When you have courage, it doesn't matter what you are going through. You will not trade off your self-identity easily. Because that courage will get you going to say, you know what? If you don't have courage, confidence will just sit there. But you need courage to activate your confidence in the Lord. And that was what David used. He used those and he became what? Victorious. So I said, number one, we need what? Faith. And number two, I said, we need to do what? Accept responsibility. And number three, I said, we need to feed our faith by what? Recognizing unfailing power of God. Number four, you need courage and confidence to trust in God. David declared, the Lord who rescued me from the paw of lion, that is from verse 37, and the paw of the bear will rescue me from the hand of the Philistine. This courage strengthened him, gave him strength to go. We have read a lot of accounts about David. And the last one, the last ingredient to trust in the Lord, it requires you to do what? Take action. Don't just have faith. Don't just jump into, accepting responsibility. There's a difference between accepting responsibility and doing what you have accepted. Many of us have accepted the call this year. I will serve the Lord. Until you step out in faith to take action. Faith without work is dead. David did not just accept responsibility. He wasn't supposed to just go check your siblings. And he took up another child. That was challenging enough. But he did it fearfully. And he got there. He took up another challenges to go and fight with somebody that was a threat to the whole army of the Lord. If you didn't take step, if you don't take step, you cannot trust God. Because it is when you take up a step out in faith and challenges will happen. That is when you will need to trust in the Lord. David stepped out. And the giant was what? Threatening him. You little boy. You will just be like one of those, carcass. But instead, David said back to him, your body will be given to what? To the carcass. Praise the Lord. But he stepped out. You have to step out. You cannot exercise trust in the Lord unless you do what? Step out. David did not just exercise courage and confidence. He stepped out in faith. He fought Goliath. And if you look at verse 50, let's see the outcome. I know we hear the story. What was the outcome for David? In verse 50 to 52 of that 1 Samuel chapter 17. 1 Samuel chapter 17. What happened there? So David triumphed over who? Philistine. With what? A sling. What do you have in your hand? You have something, faith and trust in God. And a stone without a what? A sword, just like the Goliath hand. And he struck down the Philistine and killed him. 51. So David ran and stood where? Over him. He took hold of the Philistine's sword and drew it. When you step out in trusting God to fight a battle for you, you will take hold of that thing that your enemy is using against you. But sometimes we allow fear to creep in. Go to verse 52. Then the men of Israel and Judah surged forward with a shout and pursued the what? The Philistine. If David did not step in, those men, they won't have the courage to chase after him. So what is God telling you this morning? What is God saying to you this morning? In conclusion, trusting in God, in the Lord, is critical to living a meaningful life. Fear is the enemy of trust. Because the devil is interested in threefold ministry, we know it. What is he interested to do? In John 10:10, to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But we have a weapon, a tool that we can use against this devil. And that is in what? 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. And that is what? The spirit of what? Power, love, and sound mind. God has not given us the spirit of fear. Don't be afraid of the ministry of the devil. He has come to do what? Steal, kill, and destroy. But with power, with the spirit of power, the spirit of love of Christ in you, and of sound mind, you can overcome him. I pray we will all overcome Satan in the name of Jesus. As I round up this morning, let's rise up and let's put Psalm 55 verse 22. Psalm 55 verse 22. He said, cast your burdens upon the Lord. I want you to rise up and he shall do what? Sustain thee. He said he will never suffer the righteous to be more. God is saying, cast what? Your burden. Those baggages that you are carrying about. God is saying, cast it on me. How? In trust. In partnership with him. A relationship of what? Of trust. I want you to know that God cares about you. Bow down your head and begin to talk to him. And say, God, I know that you care about me. I know that you love me so, so much. And I know that because you love me, you have made a promise that when I cast my burdens, my heavy burdens upon you, that you will take them away. And I love this song. It's an old song, Don Mwen. I don't know how many of us know it. He said, cast your burdens upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. He shall never let the righteous to be mourned. As for me, I will call upon God, and our Lord we save me. Evening, night, morning, and at noon will I pray and cry aloud. He will rescue me. God is saying, when you call on me, every time you cry it aloud and you trust me, I will rescue you. Father, in Jesus' name, thank you for your word that you have sent to us, O Lord. You are calling us to enter into a life of relationship with you, to trust you. And peradventure, there are people here who are yet to develop a relationship with God. You can't trust God that you don't know. I pray that you will call them into a lifetime relationship with you in the name of Jesus, so that they can trust you to bear their burdens in the name of Jesus. And as many who already know you, Lord Jesus, but they are struggling with trusting you, encourage them, strengthen them to trust you to the end in the name of Jesus. And as we bring those burdens before you, you will take them off our shoulders in the name of Jesus. I welcome you to your next level, a new beginning of trust in God. And so shall it be for you. Amen. In the name of Jesus.